Welcome to another episode of Talks from St. Peter's, a podcast bringing you live recordings of talks from our services at St. Peter's Church in Derby, a community of faith, hope, and love in the heart of the city.
So, a few weeks ago, Anita sent out an email to all of us that preach and said to us that we were starting our new sermon series on parables. And she suggested that we might like to pick our favourite parable to preach on. So I had a bit of a think about it and realised I didn't really have a favourite parable. So I did a quick Google and said, well, let's have a look at all the different parables that Jesus preached. And as I was reading down the list, I got to the parable of the labourers in the vineyard. And immediately thought of Days of Elijah, the song that we sing that has that fantastic ending to the second verse, and we are the labourers in the vineyard declaring the word of the Lord. Now, I don't really believe in coincidences. A lot of that probably stems from my work in IT, where if two seemingly random things happen, they're probably not that random and they probably are related. But while I don't believe in coincidences, I do believe that the Holy Spirit can speak to us in different ways. So after reading down the rest of the list, and nothing else sparking my interest that somebody hadn't already said they were going to preach on, I fired off an email to Anita and said, I'll preach on this parable. So then I came to prepare for it and thought, well, where do I start? And I thought, we've often debated in worship group what Days of Elijah actually means. So I thought, well, I wonder if there's anything on the internet. I wonder if somebody's written something about it. Turns out we're not alone. Lots of people have clearly asked this question, to the extent that Robin Mark, who wrote it, has rather a long article on his website that explains how the song came to be. And he starts off by saying it's primarily a song of hope. Now, that's something I'm sure all of us could do with a bit of right now. These restrictions that are affecting our lives show no signs of ending, and the possibility of further restrictions are always looming. It turns out that Robin Mark wrote this song in a very similar situation at the end of 1994, a year that saw the Rwandan Civil War claim a million lives. Now, I can't say that I remember that, but maybe some of you do. It was also the year of the first ceasefires in Northern Ireland, something which I do vaguely remember. And Mark writes, I found myself despairing about the state of the world and in prayer began asking God if he was really in control and what sort of days we were living in. I'm sure these are questions that we have all asked ourselves recently. Questions that will have challenged us, especially when our friends, family, neighbours and work colleagues have turned to us as Christians and asked the same. Mark continues, and I'm going to just read you a short extract of what he's written. So he says, I felt in my spirit that he replied to my prayer by saying that indeed he was very much in control and that the days we were living in were special times when he would require Christians to be filled with integrity and to stand up for him just like Elijah did, particularly with the prophets of Baal. These are Elijah days. Elijah's story is in the book of Kings, and you can read how he felt isolated and alone in the culture in which he lived. But God told him to stand up and speak for him. We also needed to be a holy and just people, and hence the reference to the days of your servant Moses, meaning that righteousness and right living was important in all our attitudes and works. Days of great trial, of famine, darkness and sword is a reflection of the apparent times in which we live, when still thousands of people die every day from starvation, malnutrition and war. In the midst of it all, we are called to make a declaration of what and who we believe in. I really wanted to share a lot more of this with you, but time just doesn't permit. So I'll jump to the bit that might explain why this links to our story today. Mark writes, finally, the days of the harvest. point towards what is the purpose of the Christian? To go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. By the way, the fields are as white in the world is from the old King James Version and means they are ripe for harvest. Now, the instruction to make disciples of all nations can be found in Matthew 28, verse 19. And in some way, this is what today's parable is all about. Not the act of going out and making disciples, but about the inclusiveness of the gospel. So let's take a look at this parable more closely. Jesus starts by saying in verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." This whole parable is being compared to the kingdom of heaven. It's also worth noting at this point that vineyards were commonly used to represent the people of, to represent Israel. So it seems logical that we are to interpret the landowner as Jesus and the workers as those that are called to work in God's vineyard or kingdom. And that's all of us. Now, when I initially read this parable, I couldn't help but feel that it all just seems a bit unfair. Let's go through the story again. So in verse 1, the landowner goes out to hire people early in the morning. That is, at dawn. And although we don't know the exact time, it's likely to have been around 6 a.m. In verse 2, he agrees to pay them a denarius for the day. If you're following along in an actual Bible, you may well have a footnote against denarius, and it will explain that the denarius was the usual pay for a day's work in the vineyard. It was the going rate. And then in verses 3 to 4, we hear that at 9 a.m. he went out and hired more labourers. We don't get told how much they will get paid. He just says, "I will pay you whatever is right." In verses 5 to 7, he does the same again at noon, 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. And then verses 8 to 12 is where they get paid, and everybody gets a denarius. And this is why my initial reaction was that it's unfair. I'm definitely on the side of the people working in the vineyard here. It doesn't seem right that someone should work a whole day, 12 hours, and get paid the same as someone who worked only 1 hour. That's from 5 till 6. Relatively, they've got paid 12 times as much for doing the same job. And Jesus has been very clever in his storytelling here, because although the denarius was the going rate, he only agreed to pay this to those that worked the full day, those hired at dawn. Everyone else only agreed to whatever is right. But does that seem right to you? While you ponder on that for a minute, let me tell you a little bit about Roman timekeeping. Romans divided the day into 12 hours from sunrise to sunset. So early in the morning, in the original Greek, which our Bible translates as dawn, is likely 6 a.m. The original Greek never actually gives us any times. It simply gives us the hour of the day. So at the third hour, that's 3 hours after 6 a.m., is translated as 9 a.m. At the sixth hour as noon, etc., etc. So those that were hired at 5 p.m. were hired at the 11th hour. And in a 12-hour day, that's pretty late. So I'm sure we've all heard the phrase at the 11th hour, and it's thought that the phrase ended up in the English language from early translations of this parable into English and the Greek being left intact as at the 11th hour. So how are you now feeling about those that turned up at the 11th hour getting paid the same as those that have worked all day? Still seems unfair, doesn't it? But then this is because we're not quite seeing things as God does. God's grace does not discriminate. It applies equally to all of us, whether we have been a Christian for as long as we can remember or we became a Christian last week. God is generous with his grace, just as the landowner, we read in verse 15, has been generous with his money. Did you notice a slight difference in what the landowner asked when he arrived in the marketplace at 5 p.m.? In verse 6, he says, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" Now, my initial reaction was, He's been to the marketplace in the morning at 9 a.m, midday, 3 p.m. Surely he's seen these people stood there doing nothing. He's already found others stood doing nothing. It tells us in verse 3. So why not these guys? Were they not there before? Well, they don't seem to say that because they say in verse 6, no one has hired us. They are still there as they have been rejected by all other possible employers. They will form an important part of this story and would have been seen in the same way as tax collectors or prostitutes that Jesus also invited into the kingdom. Everyone else has rejected them, but the master invites them in the same way he did everyone else. Not only that, but he pays them the same as those that have labored all day. When I talked on Esther last year, I introduced a phrase, the mighty came down and became humble and meek, so that if we are humble and meek, we might, through the power of the Holy Spirit, become mighty. It describes the greatest of all reversals in the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ. Reversals are common in the Bible. In the book of Esther, you may remember Esther is an orphan who becomes a queen, and the Jewish people grasp victory from the jaws of defeat. And in verse 8 of today's reading, we have another reversal. It says, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first. The explanation in verse 16, so the last will be first and the first will be last, is likely added at a later date and not spoken by Jesus. But Jesus is telling us through this parable that this is how it will be in the kingdom of God. So where does this leave us today? Well, firstly and foremost, it gives us hope. It's widely known that the effects of this pandemic will be felt for a long time to come, with many believing that our mental well-being will be most affected. A report published in June by Mind, a charity supporting people with mental health issues, found that over half of adults and two-thirds of young people said that their mental health declined during lockdown. Loneliness was a big problem, and over half of adults turned to over and under eating to cope, a third to alcohol or illegal drugs, and a third of young people turned to self-harming. If we go into a second lockdown, or the longer these restrictions continue, these issues are also going to continue. But interestingly, connecting online was seen as a key coping strategy. And that's something that as a church we have been able to offer throughout. So if we find ourselves in that position that Robin Mark found himself in 1994, despairing about the state of the world and asking God if he is really in control, we need to remember and share the hope that Christianity gives us. Hope that one day Jesus will heal all our wounds. Jesus will help us to make sense of everything, answering all of those questions that we have. That there will be no more struggles and no more anxiety. We will be truly free. Do not underestimate the power of a phone call, a text message, an email, or whatever other way you connect with people in sharing that hope. Do not underestimate the power of that hope that is within all of us. And I will finish with my own interpretation of those labourers stood waiting in the marketplace at 5 p.m. What if they are like many people in our world today whose lives have been turned upside down? People that have always had what they needed, needs satisfied by worldly things and not by God. What if they have never been looking for God to invite them into his kingdom? What if they now are? What if they weren't there when we looked for them at 6 a.m? They weren't there when we looked for them at 9 a.m, or midday, or 3 p.m. But what if they are there now? Have we been and looked for them recently? Is there someone you know, maybe a friend or a relative, that is not a Christian and may now be more open to hearing the hope that Christianity has to offer. I'm going to finish in a prayer. And in this prayer, I'm going to ask God to help us to think of who those people might be that we know, and to give us the words to speak with those people, and to show them that he wants to invite all of us into his kingdom. And even at the 11th hour, it is not too late. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for this parable that you shared with your disciples many years ago. We thank you that their faithfulness to your teaching means that we are able to hear your words today. Gracious God, guide us with your grace. Help us to spot those people for which the time is right to receive you into their lives. Holy Spirit, fill us with the hope we have in you, and give us the words we need to share that hope with others. Amen.
St. Peter's is a diverse community of faith, hope, and love in the heart of the city. If you'd like to know more, you can find us online at stpetersderby.org.uk. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talks from St. Peter's, and we hope you will join us again for our next talk in about a week's time.